Smooks up. And we're gonna. These are the answers to last night's questions. I will, God willing, tomorrow bring a glass. Not Thursday, bring a glass of like terms. Please, Slap, Felicia, and all these other things. Yeah.
And the practical outcomes of looking at the, in those two ways.
Yeah, it is interesting. So it's like this. Here, I'll give a little background. Go over it again. We have two separate aspects here. What happened was like this. People started doing business on Shabbos. So the Navi Nehemiah, he said, you can't touch anything you don't absolutely need. Don't touch anything. You food, it, like minimum.
What,
even permitted things.
What time period?
I guess before or around the time when the Beis Hamikdash was rebuilt, I would imagine, right? Ezra Nehemiah, that's probably maybe the later. I'm not sure. I'm sorry. It's the Navi. Okay. Not 100%. I can find out pretty easily, but not at the moment.
Park.
But yeah, around the Second Temple at the time.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit dropped before, probably right around the when they were building, or a little after. I'm not sure exactly here. So people do business, people doing things with a child you know how to do. So he said, don't touch anything you don't need. I don't care if it's permitted, not permitted, not, don't touch it. You don't need it, don't take it, don't touch it. Food they never say is prohibited, but other things, like, don't touch. If you need it, you need to put it on, put it on. If not, don't touch it. Don't move it, don't do anything with it. So the first thing is like, halt, don't, no business, you can't touch it. Oh, I'll touch. So that, like,
it seems like the Shulchan Aruch is passing like that, and it says for finishing off to the Heter.
Wait. Klisma Flaheter is not necessarily, you'll see. It's
really?
Not, no. No. Yeah. Maybe. That's, it might be, maybe. Maybe not. Well, that'll be probably after Uman, I'm sorry to say. But we'll come back to this, say, don't worry. We'll.
That's okay, it's dollars anyway.
It comes down. Yes, it's soon. Like I said, I have a feeling that these are going to be Sunday, I'm not here. I think I'm here Thursday, I would imagine. Tomorrow, I hope I'm here. I'll call if I'm not here.
You go to
Sunday? I'm going over Sunday, yes. I'll call. If I'm here in terms of Spirit of the Law, we'll do Yom Kippur and the Beis Chai. But I hope, as I have to do some work and I have a wedding I have to go to in the Dead Sea, I just starting in. Thank you. An hour, he's waiting a long time, this guy. Wow, man. Good guy. Really good person, and I cannot. I can't say no. I have to be there, and I suspect it's going to be empty too. So if it's going to be empty, I'm going to be there till the end, Bli Nether, and that's sort of. I can't work in a wedding; it doesn't work so well for me. So I have to come home and work, and hopefully sleep at some point. But well. So okay, that's what we're holding. So what happened was like this. He said, "Don't touch anything." Eventually, it went down a level. So you know what? Whatever's permitted, you can move, even take it out of the sun, even so, it won't be stolen. What's prohibited, a vessel, what's called a klish v'machter iser, and this will be in the glossary a little bit, what's called a prohibited vessel, you can move only if you need it for its actual gufo, to use it like a pen. You can use a pen if you want to scratch something, you want to point for a child, and you happen to need a pen. You don't have anything else to use, you always use your pen. There's a pen on the table, you're going to put, see here it is, you can take your pen and point. Or if you need to place, the pen is here and I want to put my kiddush cup here, I can pick it up and put it somewhere else. Fine. Those two ways. I can't just move a pen. I'm afraid it'll be stolen. Tough luck. Move my foot, maybe, but I can't move it with my hands. It's not allowed. Now, some people say that Nehemiah, in terms of, there are other rules in Muksa which we'll see, but Nehemiah, he made a rule, and he softened the rule, right? And then it stayed that way. It's not like a regular Muksa. Regular Muksa, let's say this is a valuable recorder, right? This recorder is called a Muksa Machmas Chisar Kis, which means, Muksa Machmas, this means Muksa because. Chisaron kis means a loss of pocket. You're not going to use it for anything else. You're not going to use that paperweight. It's a very costly thing. You're not going to, you set it aside in a special place. So it's called, it's a muksa. It's something that's prohibited use for it. It's muksa with set aside. It's very expensive. You worry about it. You care for it. So you can't do anything with this. So that muksa is a person's, our sages said, you on Shabbos, put it away, put it out of your mind, as it were. That's what you do. So we're just making that formal and saying, don't touch it. You need to change your mind on Shabbos? Too bad. Generally, kilu. No, now I want to use it even though I want to move it. You can't. You put it out of your mind. So it stays the gzera of muksa. That's how it works. So the question is, if I have this pen, is the pen the same thing? Is the pen also because I put it out of my mind because I don't want to use it on Shabbos to build or do things? Or is it because Nehemiah made a gzera, but it never became formally more prohibited. It's not like this kind of muktzah. It's a specialized muktzah that they made. They said, you're putting it out of your mind. It's not put out of my mind.
It'd be a penalty put out of your mind because it has to do with the malacha.
Yeah, because the sages said... Because the sages said... No, for sure. No, it's not the same. The question is it the same in that our sages said, it's like you put it out of your mind, so you're not allowed to use it. Now, what's the difference? Like, who cares? We spoke about one possible difference, actually, which, again, I'm looking. The more I look... I found a couple of sources. They say this, it fits really rather neatly, but it's not necessarily true. I mean, like Rosh Zalman Shmir Shabbos, he is stringent, but he does not bring this differentiation. He just brings other proofs. So I haven't yet, and the Rosh Hashanah also, but this way, that way, I haven't found clearly someone to say like a really strong source. He's a good safer. He's good. He learned good, learned in depth. But like, you know, maybe not. But anyway, let's say this is not a pen. Let's say this is a candle. What can you do with a candle? Let's say there's nothing in the world I can do with a candle, right? So maybe, if you want to tell me that it stems from Nehemiah, right? It stems from Nehemiah, and that's how he comes out, right? He wants to say if it stems from Nehemiah, so that works out. Oh, 20 questions we have. 20 questions and answer key to the last one. Here's one, two, here's another. That's only 14 of them. Nice. And here's the answer key. Okay. Here. These are the answers to the oh, this is like kind of longish. Okay. There we go. It's just, okay.
One of my friends is also letting a friend of mine.
Ah, there we go. That's a shame. It's like a lot of fun. Oh. Here we go. So here's the answers to the other, I guess it's 21 questions it became. And here's this week's 20 questions. Okay. Excellent. So the old question, is this 308 paragraph SIF 3 part 1? That has answers. Part 2 doesn't yet have answers. So we're doing question 3, that's when we started, right? That was what was preferred, but we're going to go back at least to 1, because it's connected to what we said, and we'll see where we're holding.
So are straight-on answers, or different sheets, like the answer, this is a question?
It depends on the question, but if you read them, you'll find out.
I want to know what I'm reading.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. I'm just telling you, like, it's more or less what I said in this year, pretty much. Generally speaking, it's more or less what I said in this year. Like, I'm just summarizing that's the idea. And I will, we had another two sheets or so, Garrett. I will give those answers going by Thursday. You'll have them, believe it or not. That's the plan.
I hope so. You don't have to learn them. You can just wait until we get the answers. Then
you're not
going to
understand.
No, it gets developed because of all your inputs. That's input. What do you mean? Your questions. Your absolutely. Yeah.
Your input is to the
entity. Absolutely. Where are we? So here we go. Where is
the light of the candle?
Anyway, we'll leave it. I wrote the answer. Hopefully, the answer key is okay. But let's go back to what we were holding now. Just simple. It could very well be. I'll leave it alone. The other. I want to look at it again. It's like I said. It's not that particular thing. It's totally. Some say it's not conclusive at all. The idea of the. This Nehemiah, is the difference? Is the difference? I think the Nachas Yisrael said, the Hebrew Nachas Yisrael said, the difference, there are Sforim, but it's not so conclusive, that point. But there are definitely differences. So why is it a vessel, like a candle, let's say, why is this candle a Kli Shel Lechtel Le'Isser? It's a vessel which is set aside to be used for a prohibited purpose. That's what it's for. It's a vessel, but it's used. Let's say it's a vessel. So if it's assuming it's a vessel, that's what it is. It's something processed, something made to light a candle. That's what it is. So if you say that this type of muktzah is different than other muktzahs because Nehemiah made a gzera, and he made it less stringent as time went on, eventually this is how it stayed. It remained that a vessel is prohibited. This vessel, it stayed from Nehemiah's gzera. I'm not putting... You only got to move it for its need to use it, right? To point with it, or whatever you're doing with it, black, or whatever you're doing, or to for its place, right? That's the way it works. So, if that's the case, so I didn't put it out of my mind. It's not like the tape recorder. The tape recorder, I just said, it's muksam machmas chisaron kis. This is something for, because it's so valuable, you set aside a place in it, you never use it for something, some other purpose. This thing is serious business. You can't. You put it out of your mind. You can't move for any reason. You're stuck.
So you would put it away before Shabbos.
You put it before Shabbos, but if you need to move it, if my 5-year-old son takes this, I have a problem. I'm in trouble. I don't know what I'll do, but I can't take it from him. Unless you want to say that muktzah you're allowed to carry because of a financial loss, which that's a different discussion. It could be it is, and we will get there, God willing. This is a question.
But
it's
you can tell
discussion.
Him to put it away, right?
That's the thing. If you say, according to the opinion, that you're allowed to carry muktzah for financial loss, then yes.
Wait.
Yes.
Isn't that the entire idea of chisurin kiss?
No. Because the financial loss means you... Chisurin kiss means, let's say it's recorded now at $50, but I'm careful with it. Let's say everyone here is a millionaire, but I'm careful with my recorder. So I would not be allowed to carry that muktzah for the $50. Because it's not a loss for me, it's not a big deal. But if I... That's maybe...
Yeah,
that's
really
what
the
feet,
play.
Yeah.
It's chisurin kiss. How
the Mishnah Berurah is talking about over there, it's a case of someone who's in a place where he's afraid he's going to be robbed. He has money. He says, they know I have money. These guys, they can smell it. So, it's Shabbos. They know Shabbos Jews don't play around with money. So they're going to search my stuff. They're going to case the joint. So what do? I'm in trouble. So, can he, like, carry it on? Can he?
Why? Because they hold that money's like your life.
So he's gonna, it could be, not your life, but it could be that it's a very huge loss. I mean, he can't pay his hotel bill, let alone, you know, the proprietor already took every penny he owns, or whoever it is doing it. So he can't do it, he's in trouble.
But is this why?
It's not dangerous. It's not dangerous, no. Right. No. Dangerous would be no question. It's a discussion. There is, again, better so in your clothing if you can. But what if I did it? What if I... It's a discussion. It's not here now. We'll get there. But except for that, you're in trouble. My kid takes this, I'm in trouble. But here, this vessel, I didn't put it out of my mind. This candle, I didn't put it out of my mind. I didn't make it look so. No, it's just Nehemiah said you're not allowed to use this. He said don't use these things, and it stayed that way.
Almost that. Nehemiah's thing wasn't fully knocked out.
He left it. So the question is, did our sages make a special zera? Here again, it's machlok shushonim. I brought in the other question, but it's machlok shushonim. Do you look at it one way, or do you look another way? That's right. Or do you say no? The sages said, just like this muktzah, I put it in my mind to the extent that I can only use it for a permitted use, for it to use it for something, some kind of permitted use, or for I need the space. Fine.
Try to understand the difference.
Okay, that's the thing. So then, what about buses? We have a rule that's called buses, which means a basis. If I put a muktzah on something before Shabbos, this gets the rule of the muktzah. This is, let's say, a little table. I like to move it around. It's a little shtender. Let's say it's not it, but let's say it is. And I like to have my kiddush, and it's somewhere else. I like to move it around. And somebody put a pen on there. Why did they put a pen on there? It's really their thing, and they got a little annoyed that I keep taking it. You know, I'm not so nice when I ask permission. So they put a pen on it in order to make it muktzah machas gufo. So I wouldn't move. I would be like, I know I'm allowed to use it. Let's say I'm allowed to use it. Right, because let's say I need to use the thing for permitting.
Wasn't there something that if you need it, then you couldn't?
Yeah, also, but I can use it because I'm using it for kiddush. But I'll like, well, there's a pen on it. I have to like sort of shake it off. I'm starting to think, who did that? I said, well, I did. You know, you never asked me. Whatever the reason is, the person's doing it, it doesn't matter. Bottom line is, there's a pen on here. It was left. It was meant to purposely. I want to stay there. This basis gets the rule of whatever I put on it.
That's
the whole thing.
Maybe
like one
it's own. It's a discussion.
Huh? Like part of the
yes, it's like it's the same rule.
Well,
so maybe
business, you never
you
mind.
Maybe it's not buses.
How do we know?
Who
how
says
do we
buses?
How do we know that according to Nehemi, he doesn't? Where did the law of buses come in?
That's the thing. He said, "Who says it's buses? Maybe it's not."
Could buses be a separate gezera and still do it still be from Nehemi?
It should be for that guy. It's considered like that.
Nehemi just said, "Don't carry this around. It's not good for you. You're going to do business with it." So I'm not carrying it. But why does it? What does that affect this? Not
we could hold that. It's the heavy who put it in, and then there's
but
a separate gezeira.
That's the question. When our sages made the gezeira of buses, that whatever you put muktzah on, it becomes a base. Yeah. Maybe there was only a tip recorder and a rock. That's it. Nothing else. Who said? Who and like stuff? Who said? The heavy just said, "Don't carry this. I'm not. I'm just carrying this." So I kicked it off. You tell me I can't carry this. It's in the stuff. It's going to break. So if it's a kli shel malchus lehetzer, if it's a vessel used for permitted use, I'm allowed to carry it on the sun, so it shouldn't break. If not, I'm not allowed. So that's one difference between Nehemiah. If it's only Nehemiah, the Rishon would say it's only Nehemiah, and the Rishon would say it's a possible difference. It's not clear, but it's like enough. You could say, who said, you need to prove the other way. How do you know buses applies? What does it say that bus applies by a candle, for example?
Where do you draw our laws for buses? I don't even know.
We'll get there, Ben Sushin. And that's a good point. And you're right. You can look if you want. Yeah. But just saying, Kilo, it's a possible way you can, in the sources, as far as I could tell, you could push this in and say, no, it's not buses. It's only, you could do that. It could work. So it's very interesting. So it's fascinating. It was fascinating. That's one difference. There were another, I think there were another couple actually things. I think we should leave it for now. This is good enough for thought. Maybe next time. We'll do another one next time. And we have to go back. I have to go back to the other one. And you're right. But Klitschnach Leheter, by a permitted vessel, is that also Nehemiah? What is that? We'll have to get there also.
Are you saying only spoke about Klitschnach?
No. Everything except food. And then he lowered it.
Food and books, yeah?
Yeah, food and books. And maybe utensils. Maybe. Question.
Websites and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, Mr. stuff. Like, whatever. Yeah, there were different things. Whatever. And that's essential. Don't care unless you must have it. Clothing, you can wear your clothing. Don't carry your clothing. I don't care. That was the kind of later. This was an initial.
Could not drape your towels at that time, over yourself.
Your towels you could, but your second towels you can't carry. Unless you need it. You're sitting there, only what you need to carry. And certain things that are used for prohibited, just don't touch it all. Don't use a hammer. Tough. You need to open a nut? Tough luck. Have a nutcracker. Don't use a hammer. So nutcracker, only carry it if you need to open it. Maybe, or maybe not. Maybe it's just a
tentacle. Keys, if you hadn't draped it, like a Shabbos belt, you could carry.
Yeah, but if I want my second belt too, I'd like to carry my second belt. It's out of place. My 5-year-old son, I don't know, maybe with a key. My 5-year-old son took my belt out of my closet and put it on the floor. I want to put it back. And the initial, this changed, but the initial decree of Nehemiah, you were not allowed to do that. Eventually, he said, no, you can. It doesn't matter. Nehemiah prohibited everything except food, books, and maybe utensils.
How long did this was reversed? How long were these laws?
I don't know how long it was. But actually, yeah, that's the way it started out. And then eventually, it's not the halacha. I'm just explaining. There was such a zera, and then Nehemiah saw people started being more careful with Shabbos. He took it seriously, so he softened it. He said, a prohibited vessel you can use only for a permitted use, or if you need the place, and a permitted vessel you can even move to take it out of the sun, or so it shouldn't be stored. That's what Nehemiah said.
When was this?
It's the second basic English.
Long time. 2000 years.
Yeah. Then we had the Chachamim did also six areas to Muxa. And why we spoke a little bit about why, I don't remember. It's one of the questions. I'll work it out, Ben Sushin.
Yeah.
And those, well, they were doing business. Like, you guys got to stop. So the minister of Xera, you know, when that stays in Xera, you're not even allowed to ask the question until 12 months. You're not allowed to ask why until 12 months. That's what the mission says. You can't ask. You just do it.
Because if there's a law, we will do it, and we'll...
No, it's because if you ask why and you don't agree with the reason, you won't do it, and we won't be able to fix anything. So we're not asking you why. You're not letting make Xera people won't accept. That's also true. But and the word yeah, things it didn't work out. You're not allowed to ask. It's a mission. It's not our again. It's not our topic. But it's in the mission of the Torah says you're not allowed to ask till 12 months. Xera, why? You can't say why is it. You weren't permitted. Again, if the people aren't holy by it, you shouldn't make Xera. You have to make sure they really need it, and that was for the sages to know. But you weren't allowed to ask until 12 months later. What was it about? Once you give me 12 months, we'll explain it to you. That's the mission. Yeah. That's the explanation.
Can you so explain this in 12 months.
If you want, come back and tell me, and believe me, stick it out for 12 months. I spend anything you want. I'm just kidding. No, it's a misunderstanding. It's not our sugi at all. It's just good to know. Xavier was you just did it. You said they had it hard. He made it hard for them to stop the business. Yeah, no more monkey
business.
Yeah. They bring barrels of wine. He said, finish, stop. We still never read that Gemara and that Shulchan Aruch. I'm sorry, I keep not bringing it in. I should just take the Gemara out. Maybe next time, there's a Shem. It's like, it's good just to read. It's not even that much. Just see what it says. I'm just from memory. But actually, you're fine. That's what happens. And then what happened? So then, eventually, you know, we can soften as what we have now, at least in those areas. And looks so at certain keys and stones.
They had the same problem we have now.
Oh, boy. People, yep, you can say that again, that's for sure. Okay, so let's go to question number one. Yesterday we saw that a thermometer is permitted to move. Since, why is a thermometer? Do you want a question?
Sure, please.
If you have extra, that's fine. I do, no, we printed 20. 12. 12, still, okay. One for every tribe. So. Please pass. So if you want to go to question number one, we saw last You can look in the antiquity from the last questions, I guess. Well, Pastor wanted that also. But we saw from the last time that a thermometer is permitted to move on Shabbos, even though it's used for measuring. Measuring is prohibited on Shabbos. It's not muksa, Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach says, because it's only used for a measuring of mitzvah, what you're allowed to do. You take someone's temperature, you're obligated to make sure if they're ill and to find out, that's okay. Just like you can measure a mikvah. It's not any terrible deadly illness or anything. You can measure a mikvah just to make sure it's kosher. You can measure someone's temperature to see that they're okay.
Rabbi Yashiv said
you can,
right?
Rabbi Yashiv is Zalman Orbach. You're right. But Rabbi Yashiv, he would probably disagree, because he holds that the mitzvah, the only way you're allowed to measure the mitzvah is what it says. You can't measure matzah either. I don't even think he lets you measure matzah. Oh, don't measure. Measure before. You know, don't measure. Rosh Hashanah says, of course you can. Why is it different from measuring mikvah? He said, who said you can measure anything but what it says? Only what it says. You can't measure anything else. I'm sure he had strong proofs. But they have a different way of seeing things. And we're not so focused in the proofs in the Rosh Hashanah, but just. That's what they're, but Rosh Hashanah said it's fine. So according to that approach, which I think is the usual approach, I'd say, because, we'll leave it alone. That's its own also discussion. Like, can you weigh, you go to the hospital, do you have to refuse a doctor if you're not in deathly ill, you can't be weighed? Like, Rosh Hashanah, of course you can. I'm like, maybe you have a problem. Like, it's not, it has to be thought through. Like, how do you, there are problems which Rosh Hashanah gets around with this leniency. If you don't have it, you start to you have to sit and work out. What do you do? Can you? Is it different? Isn't it different? Has to be thought. Is it dangerous? Like, has to be worked out. What are his exact parameters? I didn't really do that. I just know that he does prohibit it. Not mukhsa, but he does. He obviously says it's not okay.
So, my introduction to the question one is that it's mukhsa iser, and if someone becomes sick, then you have to use it because then you're using it for.
Yeah, he says no, it's not allowed to the iser if I use it only for a mitzvah that I'm allowed to use it.
That's what I'm saying. That's what he's saying. Sick is the question.
It's not allowed to listen. He said that's what he wants to say.
Even if
it's
sick.
Yes. Now,
why?
Because it's only used for permanent purpose. He said this thing is a klishna of the hefta because you use it when you're obligated to use it. He said I don't care. It's just like. By the way, some say about a mila knife the same thing.
I remember.
They say if on Shabbos. Oh, but it's a worse mukzah though. It's a worse mukzah.
Right.
It's a worse mukzah. Although here it's also maybe the same thing. It doesn't matter. Some say a mila knife. That Shabbos, since you have to use it, it's not mukzah at all.
It's
why is it mukzah?
I need
to use it.
Finished
mustard wasn't mukzah. It's a whole Shabbos. That's what it's set aside to do. He says set aside for permitted activity. How can you say it's not permitted? And when I do it, but every time I do it, it's for permitted activity. It's not made. If it's the thermometer, and this was mentioned yesterday, to measure outside, and you can. Yeah, that's not. Situation.
Because they're grinding. There must be some kind of application that's.
That I don't know. We'll get there, Bez Hashem. If you have like a way of like putting it, like, see why it's different in your face, then we'll deal with it, Bez Hashem.
No.
If you have a proof, so then I hear it. But here it's like, it's both in the whole. What exactly is the iser of measuring? It's like, it's not proper. It's not like a big, it's not a dough. It's not going to become a dough rice. Okay, so let's ask the question now. What is the rule of medicines?
I said, what is the rule?
Medicines on Shabbos.
You're not supposed to take.
I mean, it's not for that.
Is it muksa or not? It's on my shelf. I want it out of the way. It's not dangerous. No kids in the house. I don't like looking at it. It's annoying. Am I allowed to move it or not? That's the question. Isn't it the same as a thermometer?
It depends on medicine, doesn't it? Because if you have a medicine that you have to take every day, and if you don't, mm-hmm. you'll either die or get really, really sick.
Uh-huh.
Then you're allowed to.
I'm talking about medicine that no one needs. If
like
someone needs it, for sure you can take it.
Yeah.
You're right. I'm talking about medicine, no one needs this medicine.
A Tylenol.
It's my extra medicine.
Is it like a
thermometer or not? That's the question. Again, medicine I will only take in order to give a sick person. I don't use medicine generally. Is it the same or not?
Oh, that's a totally different ballpark.
Yeah. And no one needs the medicine shop. Is it okay? I want it off my shelf. It's in my way. I want to put something there.
It's been separated from your mind. So,
if
it's held by Ezra,
leave it alone, Ezra. It's not food. Presumably, it's mukhsa unless you have this thing of the thermometer like Rosh Hashanah. Maybe it applies. That's the question. Rosh Hashanah says medicine is also to move on Shabbos for any reason not like a thermometer. Why?
Well, assuming you're doing the traditional.
He said something so strong. It's so chazak.
Aren't they classifying medicine because originally you had to grind it?
Yes, yes. So it should be muksa. But again, I have this thing of a thermometer, which is should be like your recorder. The only reason why it's not is because I use it only for permitted use, right? So medicine also, I only use it for permitted use. Why is it different?
Because it's a question of whether or not it's actually permitted to take medicine in the first place in Shabbos.
No, we're talking about a medicine that you're always allowed to take if you need it. Someone ill uses it all the time. And he happens to be not here today, or it's extra, he's not using this particular box. And the box is sitting here. He won't need it. He doesn't need it. Why is it different from a thermometer?
You use the thermometer when you need it, not just any random
time. I also use the medicine when I need it.
Well, you don't need it now.
I know I don't need a thermometer now either, and there's a thermometer next to the medicine on the shelf. And I need both spaces, and I'm allowed to put, if it's not Boer, they're separate enough or whatever, I'm allowed to move the thermometer, because the thermometer I only use for permitted use, and put it away. I use the space. And I cannot move the medicine. Why? I only use it for the same thing. It doesn't matter.
I would argue from just...
I
would argue that you could move it, because you will need it.
Yes, you can. I won't need it. I will not, I guarantee you I won't need it. I get 90 days of this strong medicine at a time. One box somehow got on the shelf. I'm annoyed. I left it there. I want to move it. I want to put something there, or I don't know, whatever I want to do. I want to put something in the space. Do I have
that
to pick it
around?
Okay. So the Shlomo Zalman Rebbe says like this. He says, a thermometer is a kli. It is a vessel. Medicine is nothing.
Like
it's zero. It's like a rock that you use to take. It's not a kli.
That's
it. Yeah. That's what he says. He says, if you could, you need to take it, you can take it. If not, not. So it's not, it's a vessel. It should be, so it gives me because you put it away, but it's used for permitted use. Right? It's a vessel. It's a thing. Here, it's not a thing. That's what he wants to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a vessel.
You're talking about
it. He says, because it's something you use it for. It's a vessel which, because I use it in order to measure temperature for permitted use, it's a mitzvah use, so it's not also. He said, but not a medicine? What do you mean medicine not a vessel? What's medicine? Ephes.
No, but how is medicine not a vessel? And I don't
it's zero. He says, because what is a vessel?
Yeah,
he said, we see that food is not a vessel. Food is just permitted. If not for the fact that food was permitted, it would be like, what is it? They permitted vessels. Is it a vessel? No. Is it food? No. So what is it? Oh, no. It's muksamak is goofy unless you need it. That's what it is. It's like a rock unless you need it. And you may not move it. That's his differentiation. That's the, I thought that was very geschmack. After the thermometer, it's a workout.
Really
deep stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if everyone holds that, but it sounds like it's a certainly interesting point of view. Like, it's a strong, listen, you got to work out what the thing is, and you have to understand how muksa works. Muksa works, vessels, we stay one. Medicine, stay another. Like, you have to, what's not a vessel? It's not a vessel. It's not a vessel. I don't care. He said, what do you mean? I always use rocks. I like to, my kids on the patio, they take the rocks and they you know, some random rock and they tough.
No, but getting back to medicine.
Are they asking themselves like everyone else like that?
I don't know. I didn't check out. I thought it was just a fascinating story. Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know who, I don't know if anyone else, it's very interesting. But that's what I found so, like, you know, so awesome.
So if you don't need it, right this minute, you can't move it.
But I can move the thermometer, even though I don't need it.
No, but just the medicine. But
medicine's like a rock.
But if you do need it, then you can move it.
If I need it, for sure I can move it. I need it. It's a mitzvah to take it.
Why
so I have to take
why
it.
Why are you holding grapes?
If I'm allowed to take it.
You have grapes that for sure I'm going to need. It's the same idea.
Yeah.
Why is food different than medicine?
Oh, because they never make xeron food. Because people need to eat. Like a
medicine.
But you're
medicine,
right.
Not like food.
Because medicine is not a food. It's not a food. It, not only that, it's even more than that. A food that people who are not healthy only eat. There's also a whole question of what is it? It's a discussion. It's not so simple. What is it? Even if you do, it's like there's a certain point where it's not food yet and finished and too bad. It's not food. And it becomes the food is like a rock. He says, this is not something you could eat. This is not vitamins where anyone could eat it. This is medicine. It's like a rock. It's like inedible food. It's like non-kosher food. Non-kosher food is not allowed to move on Shabbos. Why not? It's not a vessel. It's not nothing. It's a rock. You need to give it to your dog. If you're allowed to feed a dog, it's not muksa. It comes out, if I remember right, that you're allowed to feed a dog. And it comes out, you're allowed to feed a dog. If it's your dog, you're allowed to feed your dog. Could you even feed a wild dog, I think? Such a thing. I don't want to look up now. We'll get there. Well, don't worry. We'll talk about it in depth. Pets and how it works. It says if you have pets, you're allowed to move the bones. Right? If the dog would eat the bones, how many people in the city have to have a dog in order to move bones? One? Isn't enough in the zoo?
This is the majority, no?
Yeah, I don't remember. I think not, but I don't remember. I don't want to look now. We'll see. We'll get there. We'll get to it. We'll talk about
it.
It says if it's normal. I think it's a shchiyah. What is shchiyah? What does that mean? If it's like, if in a non-religious neighborhood, that's enough kilo, even though you would never feed it. Maybe like it's a much. It comes out like I think there's several opinions. It's like it's interesting. Who says why? It's certainly fascinating. Okay, my child is very upset. Did anyone read the Magen Avraham Sifkat Meches?
Yes.
Great, excellent. One more than I thought. I'm just kidding. So excellent year. So a person's child is very upset, right? Can I take a pot and give it to the child so he can play store or whatever he wants to play?
Maybe
just quiet,
pot.
Huh?
I want to give my kid pot.
I'm not going there.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Yeah. So here we are. It's Shabbos. Do I have the ability to give my child any kleishim achrisa, whatever it may be, to play with that's not dangerous, that's not problematic? Can I give it to him or not? Is it okay or isn't it okay?
I didn't understand how pot is related to this. I was talking about if your acre was moving it up from something that's going to get damaged, and to move it with the second intention, no? Well, I didn't understand so much how it related to this question. It seems a little different to me.
One second, I want you to read, in another minute you'll read Michael.
So why is the pot muksa?
Why is the pot muksa? What is it used for, a pot?
To keep the stuff in. So you take
keep the stuff in? A pot is usually used to cook.
No,
so an empty pot,
cook soup,
don't give a kid a pot with soup and you'll regret it. But an empty pot is the place not clear. Because I use it to cook with mostly.
No.
Sure.
I mean, you take a pot out and then
if you're right, if you're correct,
if
in your house or in my house, I use a pot. I just don't have that many serving utensils. So I use a pot. I have nice pots. And I cook things in them. Like we said, Pyrex the other day, right? I cook things in it. And I use syrup also. And as it happens, the Mishmur says what you mostly use it for. And I mostly use it for serving. It doesn't help according to the B'alacha. Because the B'alacha says if the purpose is to cook in the thing, to do a malacha, as we saw yesterday, you may not move it, maybe, and the poskim, many of them go with that far. He says, if you made something for an Israel, like you made a hammer to bang nails. When you have a nail to bang in, you bang it, but you're not, I don't bang nails, I hire someone, I'm not banging no nails, but I don't have a nutcracker, a hammer, my hammer is the best nutcracker, and I like nuts with shells and I crack them. The hammer does not become a permitted vessel because you happen to be that one. Mishmur's not sure. He says, it's made to bang in nails. It doesn't become permitted because you happen to use it only for nuts.
Tough
luck. What do you mean? I use it for nuts. Who cares what it's made for? Like you just said, my pots, I use it to keep my food in. Exactly the same thing. Who cares if it's made to cook mostly? I don't care. I use my food 80% of the time. I keep food in a pot. Yeah, for sure. I don't know what I mean, you dapple. I'm just saying, that's why I said the hammer is the same thing all the way through the beer. Lacha seems to like he questions. He says, maybe. But he says, if the thing was made to cook with, if everyone looks at it and says, yes, this is made to cook with, and some people, maybe even, probably not the majority of people, but however many people it is, they use it more to keep food in, it doesn't become a food container. It's still a pot, it's still a kleish not kleish, it's still a vessel used for permitted use.
So that's shown in the pot and the hot plate, they can't touch the pot?
As long as the food is inside the pot, you're allowed to move it, because it's nullified to the food that's in it. We're talking about giving the child an empty pot. Say, here's a tea kettle. Play that you're making tea.
Some people, after they finish serving the food,
there's nothing in the tea kettle. Can
they
I do it?
They take another pot because this pot won't fit in the fridge and it's half full, so they want to pour it into another.
If you
want
to use, if you need, if that's the most convenient thing that you need to use the actual pot, then it's called Saraf Gufo. It's a pretty similar after it's a vessel set aside for prohibited use. But if you need to use it for permitted use on Shabbos, you no problem. But once you empty out that pot, you can't just maybe give to your kid the dirty pot. Or maybe
lick the pot.
So, I don't know, licking you can, because it's but for food. But if there's no food there, or if you take it to the kettle, can I give it to child or not? And what does it do to the Magen Avraham?
Sorry.
I need the Magen Avraham, I'm sorry to say. Okay. My apologies. Sorry.
So are there two classes of pots, whether it's like a pyrus container that's designed for banking and storage?
Maybe, yes. If it's designed for both, presumably it will become not like a pot, I imagine. Because it's not only made for research, it's made for both.
What?
If you have something that's made as a servant, we spoke about this yesterday, I didn't see anywhere, but it seems like it's made for both, so it's made for both. Some say even a dishwasher, we saw, we said probably not, but there are those who say even a dishwasher made to keep things in too. A dishwasher is a little hard to maybe defend.
Because I was looking at Pyrex, because we have it, and you know, looking at the commercials, and they make a big point of saying, you could put this in your freezer, you can put this in your refrigerator.
There we go. So if it's made for it, it's made for it. That's not what they say about your frying pan, your rice pot, or even your crock pot. Okay, so here we go. Yeah. Oish. So I didn't look inside. Sorry, it's not Miss Mugenheim at all, it's Judkes. I'm sorry, and you are totally right. I
was like reading, like, I don't know how it relates to that.
No, you're right. Okay, I'm glad I didn't see it before looking. Haha. Yeah. Yeah. I did look at it, actually. I wrote it also. It's not for now, and this is for, it's really late.
You remember what you said?
This is a later thing, although it's really, it's, I mean, we can do it now. Oi.
Sounds like
going
away. It's okay.
You don't have to do that. I don't have, like, what if people learn the Mugen Avraham, it is a very essential lesson in, because it seems like the answer might well be no. You cannot give your child a teapot. Too bad. It's not called Zohar Gufu that he wants to use it for his own little thing. He can take it if he's not obligated.
But if you do it during the week, it's not a...
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
On the same question, can you move food from one container to another container on Shabbos?
If you need the other container or you want to use it, yeah.
So I understand.
You're like from the big containers to smaller containers.
Even from a big pot to small
pot? Yeah. Yeah. So they used to give a child the first week that he came to shul a candle. I don't think it was lit. I don't believe it was lit. They gave him a candle. It meant something. So that showed his honor. And a candle is, let's say, a vessel. So the Mugen Avraham says, I think the reason why they do this is because since it's for the honor of the child, to make him feel good, like it'll be something, his symbol. So it's gufo. So it's called gufo. So the Mugen Avraham says, but I yesh lahach.
What does that mean?
He says you have to be stringent. Yeah. It's not a good enough reason. It's not called you use the candle.
You can use the candle as a pitcher.
I don't know. You can use the chauffeur as a drinking horn. But Rabbi Kivenger says, like we said the last question, Rabbi Kivenger says, sorry, nobody ever does that anymore. You don't use flasks in the same way anymore. We have cups.
Why is a candle clean? Medicine is not clean.
Some say a candle is not a clean, but it's a processed thing made for a particular purpose.
Medicine.
You let it. In other words, again, it's explicit that it's made to light it and shine. He wants to say that medicine is. Basically, you have different components, and it's not made to do anything. It's made to eat it if you need it. If not, it's poison.
But if you think of medicine, it's doing something.
But
it's made to do something.
Yes, it is. But again,
I worked in drug discovery.
I hear
it.
No, I 100%. But say, that's what he wants to say. I hear what you can say. Does everyone hold the way? It's a chiddush. I'm not saying you can say women. It's something one eats. My father eats this medicine all the time. Or... maybe it's medicine person uses, only an ill person uses. Maybe that's also part of it.
Specifically to work on the specific component where this enzyme is
going to be. A candle is usable as a vessel for anyone, any time. Medicine is only for someone who's ill. Again, vitamins, no one would have a question.
It's not made to be used in the daytime. It's made to be used in the nighttime.
Who cares? I can use it in the daytime if there's no light. If it's
found,
medicine I can't use unless I'm ill. Incorrect. And that's the difference, I think.
But
about a vitamin that could fit
the vitamin we're not talking about. Vitamin is different. We didn't talk about vitamin. We're talking about medicine.
Something that someone's
if you can't, then it probably is okay. Probably like food, I guess, or something like
food.
We have to talk about that. But the minute it's something which is poison, and it's only you're going to take it because you're ill, and anyone who's healthy takes it, it's a bad idea, and you never do it, and you really careful, stay away from it. It's the moksha. It's the ultimate moksha.
Okay.
You know, bring it to the person who needs it.
You're that too.
That person has a question.
You're that. You can bring it to him.
A case in point.
It's a mitzvah.
If you're having an asthma attack, uh-huh, and you're taking a Buterol,
no,
you need to put it together and take it.
Okay.
Or else you're dead.
Do it. But you could also drive in a car if you have to. If it's or else you're dead. Rosh Shlomo Zalman actually discusses, what if you have a car and your neighbor's wife needs to give birth? Do you have to offer your services and drive her to the hospital because it's less Chilul Shabbos than an ambulance? He says, no, you do not. And he has different proofs why not. But that's, of course, not a
story.
He says, that shouldn't. He says, it's great of you to do it. It's very kind and wonderful and sporting, but you don't have to. You can tell him, I'm really sorry. I don't want you waking me up at 2 in the morning. It looks like she's in labor. We're going to come like 4 in the morning and you'll drive. No, I don't think so.
No, actually, that's a hard question because what's quicker?
Quicker, you're quicker. Your car is way quicker. But you don't have to do it anyway, he says, which is a chiddush. But he says, you don't have to. You're not obligated. And this woman went to her relationship. She said, listen, my sister lives near the hospital. I don't really like to stay for her for Shabbos. Do I have to stay for her for Shabbos so I don't have to remember? He said, no, you don't. It's proper. It's really sporting and good of you, but you don't have to. Again, that's not our question. It's a different, that's a later sermon. Not books. It's about the Kuch Nefesh and medicine and a lot of interesting, fascinating stuff. That's for sure. For sure. So yeah, so I'm very, very profoundly sorry about Sukkot Neches. It's the second time. I gave it also Lama Dalet. I was looking for the name. Like, I wrote Lama Ches. Like, it's not Lama Ches. I go back and find it. Like, I wrote the wrong fifth. Like, it happens sometimes, twice or so. Rosh Hashanah.
There's another issue with the ambulance.
Huh?
The ambulance has other equipment that the baby might need.
No, we're talking about she's no baby.
What?
She's in labor.
Yeah.
Usually during the week, she'd call a cab. She wouldn't call an ambulance. It's Shabbos. She doesn't have a choice. She calls an ambulance. The ambulance drives from wherever they are to here. Every little bit of driving is Chilul Shabbos. Now, you're allowed to do the Chilul Shabbos. Hmm?
Are you allowed to call a cab and say, I need to get to the hospital?
An Arab cab, sure you are. And even a Jewish cab, it could be. It's not. It's more complicated. Probably, yes, if he means... This is a hard question. What if...
So because I heard if you take ambulances here, they're ready to get like big charges and stuff. So you want to just
take not a cab? Not only. You can. It depends. But that's a very, very great question. It's not on top of it. It's a great question. It's a hard answer. Who's better, a religious doctor or a non-religious doctor? That's the same question. Huh? Who's better for what? It's a law. It'll take the rest of our time, and it's not what we want to cover now. It's a Kuch Nefesh question. We get to Kuch Nefesh. We can go there.
Every question has a
Kuch
Nefesh.
No, not everyone.
It's endless.
Okay.
I want to know everything.
Learn one at a time.
You
do it
here. Are you saying these other things?
Slow.
Such a thirst.
That's so strange. So four is really not a question because it's the same question as one. It's just a cheating way of...
What's four?
Four is a thermometer different from medicine in some way? I mean, obviously, we just said we said in Preston 1.
We just covered that.
We said, are they different than thermometers discussed before? I mean, it's the same question. I just got confused or I must have... Whatever. I know what I did. I answered the question and I forgot. Okay, it's all good. So we have like this. If you have a klish shemalach le heter, a nutcracker, let's say, right? So you may not use a klish shemalach le ister, right? A hammer. You have to use your nutcracker. What if my nutcracker is four flights up in my attic? I don't really want to go up four flights. It's like 300 steps. I don't want to do it or 100 steps. It's a tirchah. I don't want to go out of the house. It's raining. Go downstairs. Get the thing out. Come in the cold rain. Even if I'm covered. I just don't want to bother. Do I have to use my nutcracker or can I use my hand? Think about it. Tell us. No, let's hear what you have to say. Love my hand. That's our question. So
you can use the hammer.
Someone kind of that it's okay. They want to say you can use it now if you have to be matriarch. If I have to go out of my way for something, he says, listen, the Mishnah Berurah brings bottom line from Korban Pesach. It says that if it's a tircha, that you can do it the regular way. You can do it the other way. It's just it's easy. I think that's what he's coming. He's trying to say.
So
just,
you
even that sugya comes out that's permitted. That's what we're
fine.
Maybe, but he says in that sugya, he proves that you have to use the permitted vessel from a sugya, and that sugya is clear that if it's a tremendous tircha, that it would be okay also. That's what he wants to say. I don't know if we're going to go into particulars, probably not even not today. What were you saying?
No, you just answered it.
Okay, good. So that's what he said. That sugya says so to you that others argue that. They say, no, you can't be matriarch. I don't know if they bring a raya. Because he seems to like, he like works through, he's very into like working through like the, like works through, we've shown the whole sugya, so think about it. I'm like, what do you mean? It's clear there. He's very interesting. I did not find my Yatrasef, by the way. I lost the mixed looks. I have to look more. I want very much to do it. I didn't know. We might do this tomorrow. Maybe there's a... The Tosef Shulchan also brings the Gemara of Shulchan, but the way he spins it, you're not alone. So we have to sit and look at that. That sounds interesting. Which is it? It can't be both. Just sit and look at that. See, what does it say? What's his proof? And where? But not today. That'll be tomorrow. That's just, I want to bring up Shulchan, if it's okay. Let's bring the Gemara.
Which Gemara is it?
I think it's Shulchan, am I mistaken? But actually, that's the way things are. So we have to really have to be worked out. I'll tell you tomorrow. Yeah, it's a Shabbos Kuf Chav Gimel. I'm sorry, it's not Shabbos. It's about Kuf Pesach. It's in the Perek Mukzah. We learned it when we did in the Kol. I didn't remember where it was. But it's in Kuf Gimel. So maybe I'll bring it. I think that's where the Nehemiah thing is there also. So maybe I'll bring that and we'll just do those two things tomorrow. So it's certainly interesting. Because he says, the Tosef Shulchan, who's a very strong source of Chaim Meir, and he says, it comes up from the sugya, too bad. Go out of your way. Tough. Gotta work hard. Use the prohibited way, even if it's easier. So if it's hard for you, you can't. And he has a proof from the sugya itself. I have to see a couple. That's something interesting. I don't want to do the another. That's tomorrow. The another. That certainly sounds like fun. That's a fun nekuda. So we have to make a mark here. So now where are we? Fine. Okay. Can you give a kli shel nafla isra to someone as a gift for on Shabbos? You say, I'll give you the tefillin, you'll accept it after Shabbos.
What's the halacha of giving gifts on Shabbos? I heard, I don't know where it's from, that's
an issue. Okay, so it's an issue, and we're talking about when there's no issue.
Ah.
We're talking about the guy says you'll be koned after Shabbos, let's say.
That is the whole issue of giving gifts
somehow? It's like Masa Matan. It's like business. Give a gift, and then he wants to get back, and he pays you, and it's not good. But like,
and he gives you a gift.
Yeah, whatever, yeah, it takes $100, or whatever, on Shabbos, it's a problem. So what about giving gifts as tefillin? This is actually explicit in Tosus, I think. That's the fun. Can you or can't you?
I think you like a bar mitzvah. You're invited to a bar mitzvah.
Yeah, you want to give it to him, why not? The bar mitzvah is flying much to Shabbos. You won't see him because you're in Dreykus for 3 hours of Shabbos. You're somewhere else. You can't find him. I have to send it by FedEx to Phoenix, Arizona, my special tefillin, his grandfather's tefillin. I'll just give it to him and say, here you go, he'll be so happy. Maybe that's enough.
It would be a big machlokas. The Talmud, I think, brings it. The Zohar says that if you put the tefillin, you go to...
It's
says that you're allowed to, and it's no problem. The Rosh also and stuff like that. And fine, no worries.
There are different malachim.
Yeah.
The Chayim Misa of the Zohar, that doesn't mean that he dies. It means something else.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
You're staring the
It means we're showing pre-Mason, the kids, so that's what it means. It's not good for... It's very spiritually a bad idea. It doesn't mean he's Chayim Misa or Jinsai or Pashas. That's the gross, I think, if I'm not mistaken. That's the Mephoshim say it doesn't mean Mamish exactly. It's not a good idea. Bad idea. That's what the Zohar says. Very bad idea. That's what the Zohar says.
The
this question.
It's, yeah.
If you go to a bar mitzvah, it's not uncommon for non-religious Jews to bring a check to the bar mitzvah and a card.
Unfortunately, yeah. It's a, no, check is worse. Check is worse. But let's say, they brought him,
Kish cup.
Yeah, a kish cup is heter. But let's say they brought him something that they didn't allow to use, except on a fountain pen. Nice fountain pen, but not that expensive.
That's traditional.
You know, the traditional old fountain pen, you know. Today I am a fountain
pen. I remember many checks on Shabbos.
It could be worse.
Whatever you said on Shabbos, you're back. You're back on Shabbos.
It is worse.
No, all I can say is one thing. It's, the worst situation is the guy who says, what bar mitzvah, what are you talking about? That's a lot worse. So he's bar mitzvah. Like, you know, checks. What are you? That's right. Shemirachim. So Tosa says you can.
Where is this inside? I didn't see it.
I didn't get a shot.
Dalit.
Question number six. Tosa says you can.
Tosa says you can.
You can.
Can or cannot?
I think he says you can.
And also, I think Mishnah Berurah talks about shadim.
Huh?
Mishnah Berurah says you're allowed to put it on if you're afraid of shadim.
It gets rid of, Never. I met someone years ago. Oh.
So he was one of the best on the Shabbos and he gave him a gift.
Oh, it's not a topic. Jeez. What's it? What? Yeah, you give him after Shabbos.
No, you want to fill together shit in.
It's the other way. I met someone. This guy was, I don't know what he had, but he was like talking and talking. He was reading this and the Hayne meditation and blah, 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 blah. So, do you plan to fill him? I hit me to ask him. He says, I can't burn you. I said, oh my gosh. Okay. It burns you. That is like the classics. That's what it says. It says, when it puts on, it burns the thing out. It's like, don't ask me what, I don't know what his deal is. Maybe he knows that and he's just, I don't know what. Maybe he's not well in the head. I have no idea, but that was very weird.
There's something that says that
film
burns them?
Mm-hmm. So he wants to put on a child to burn them?
He could put it on shelves.
That is.
That was weird. That's a real story. This guy is no longer religious. What a surprise! But anyway, actually, yeah, that was the.
What you allowed to put on shelves?
Shabbos it doesn't do.
Does that mean like he's possessed by demons or something?
I have no idea.
Is it a real thing?
I don't know. I didn't meet them. I just whatever. Again, either that, he's very not well. I mean, I don't know if he knew that though. The question is, did he know that, or did that just how he feels? Why do we need to know that? By the way, why do we know that? Why? Who cares? The Ben Shai asked that question, but it's not.
It's in Gemara Brachos, first section.
So let's try. You have cats, though. It's got to be a firstborn, a black cat,
a mother,
or
the Benish Chai says it's in order so that you should be able to perceive what's above you. But
the Gemara says you should cardinal, you shouldn't do it.
It says you're able to, yeah, because it's...
Isn't this a biter?
Yeah, it's not, it's mamish biter. It's not a biter still. Okay, seven. So then this question was again Tosin Shabbos and the Rashbo and the Ram. Listen, it makes your friend happy. It gives him pleasure. Thank you so much for this challenge. You made my day. You made my Shabbos. Of course I won't put it on.
How can you not be kissing the kisses? I thought to ask.
And those times, let's say we're talking about it's not, or it's the cheap ones that the doctor.
Also,
isn't.
Still, no one's about to care
about. Yeah, they're playing. How about that's true? I wish. I think that's someone maybe who is. It'd be good. That's already its own. And if we'll get to that question this time, but like the question is, so what? Can I also carry my tefillin if it makes me happy? Like that's the.
Can you carry a talis bag?
A talis bag, yes. As long as it's there, you can. Not with tefillin though. It's not.
Just a talis.
Yes, you can. It's a permitted thing because I'm using it for my talis and shabbos. I can. The next 20 questions. So the answer is no, of course. The answer is you may not. You can give your friend pleasure, and this we'll see by Borer also, some say. I can give my friend pleasure by bringing him a vessel that's set aside for privileged use, but I can't just hold on to myself for my own pleasure. That's not.
So you can't even, how do you give it to him?
You can still take it?
No, I bring it for the purpose of giving it to him, I can take it. But I can't just say, I love my children, I'm going to hold on to my, I love my, I don't know, what's the, you know, some police officer. I can't think of it now, but like whatever it is, I love this and I'm just going to wheel it around. My Vespa, I'm just going to wheel it around. Really.
How can your friend take it if he can't hold it because it's lost?
No, he can. You bring it and you put it down and he can see it and he enjoys it. He doesn't move it.
Here's Tom.
Yeah.
Touch
where
it.
Should I put it?
You're allowed to do this.
Yeah. The Tosafot, they're already shown. That's what they're showing. Say some say it could be others argue, but like that's what they're showing. Say you got to find who said not.
Yeah.
It's very very it's very interesting. Okay. Now what about someone? Right. So what about something that's also because of a chumrah, like a vegetable peeler? Some post commit.
Some people they don't open it.
That's different. It's food. And you can open it in a strange way. But if I have a peeler, right, here's my vegetable peeler. Some people, my sister actually goes with such a postik, her husband is close to a Friedlander, that's how he holds. She can open up, you can peel with a peeler. Now, most of us hold the peeler is Bora. Problem with Bora, big question mark of Bora, and you may not use it. Now, am I allowed to, like, is it, can I move it? Can I move it? He says, she says, you're allowed to use it. I don't use it. Is chumra, does that do something? Does it make it mamash muksa or eh?
Doesn't,
if someone would peel on Shabbos, you would eat the vegetable?
Of course, why not?
Sure. I think something someone does is brought down.
She does.
It sounds like a cheese grater, no?
She does.
No, but remember that whole that you can't.
A cheese grater is a different.
No, but you can use a peeler as a cheese grater also, I think.
I don't know. Could be. I don't know. I honestly don't know. It depends how big the piece. If the piece is big enough, maybe. If it's milk peeler, it could be. If the piece is big enough.
So it's just a regular tzitzit.
So that it's not, you can't swallow them in one shot. It's not mechatek. So yeah, I guess you can't.
Can you
swallow them? That's the question. The question, maybe the pishon for heter.
You think if you hold
for them, it's allowed. Most of us hold you not allowed. For them, it's allowed. So what is it?
Maybe someone would come to
your
house and they're
my sister says, could you pass the peeler?
Okay, so what do you do?
Or not. That's the question. So that's the Shaila. The Shaila is what, how do I look at this? What does it mean a chumra? That's the question.
Why are they matter?
Why the matter what? They want to say it's not Borer. Why is it Borer? What's Borer about? You have to peel it.
Normally, Borer, you're separating the good from the bad, right?
Yeah.
So you're peeling away the outer
skin.
Anyway,
peel. Why is it different from a knife? A knife is doing the same thing. That's what they say.
Is it because the peel is made specifically to Borer?
Yeah, but so what?
Also,
so
you're leaving some good also.
Sometimes another way, the knife, if you want to take the knife, takes off some for a minute, and what if it doesn't? If I just peel very, very carefully, I'm peeling an orange. Let's say I had a peeler that worked an orange. I don't. Okay, but let's say I did. So then, presumably, so here's like maybe, again, if it's a chumra, what's the tiny that's also called muksa? We don't care. Well, or if Karp wants
what,
to say,
what if you're not doing bora? What if you've already peeled it, but you need to re-peel it to make small, like coleslaw.
Okay, it can't be that small. As long as it's called mechatech. If I can't swallow in one shot, it says it has to be a little bit bigger than very small, like a little. And Rosh Hashanah says if you can swallow in one shot, it's no good. If you can't, it's for sure.
What's this issue?
Like if I want to make Israeli style, how small can it be?
What's
mechatech?
What's
not allowed to.
Dice?
Yeah, not allowed to bring to the day. Yeah, not too.
I didn't know there's an issue.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know that. So you need to have, so this really slow, you have to be coarse. Really, really coarse.
You have to be, not that coarse, but you can't swallow it in one shot, the pieces. If not, you can't cut a shot.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
That's the way, yeah. It's a problem. It's a shot's problem.
What if you prepare it before Shabbos?
No problem. No problem. Great.
That's
perfect. Yeah. Not on Shabbos, not that small. It's big enough. It doesn't have to be that coarse. It's like somewhat bigger. Like what? It doesn't have to be tiny. I can then go small.
We're leaning for children,
preparing
for children on Shabbos. You can cut out their food for them and they can eat.
You put it in the electric blinding.
Should, again, no, no, I really don't, again.
Discussing
with the Shinoi, I think.
Maybe that's the Shinoi.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Give him.
I gotta go. I'm sorry.
I also gotta go.